Good morning, brothers and sisters. I bring you warm Christian greetings of love from my heart. It's a blessing to be back here today and to see each one of you gathered together to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There are a couple psalms that God led me to this week. I want to read one of those first, Psalm 27. And if you want to turn to that, you can do that. Question for us to ponder here this morning is, as you look at your own heart, what is actually happening in your heart right now? Where are you at in your heart? Are you at peace? Are you at rest? Is your faith strong? Where are you at? Something to think about as we look at this psalm, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There's a word here that Brother Ken already mentioned. It is the word confident. Do you have confidence in God this morning? Are you looking to him in your life? Are you trusting him as we see the world around us in a state of turmoil and confusion? We want to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God will never leave us, and he will never forsake us. We don't really know what the future holds for us, but we know that for the believer in Christ, God will always be with us. God is on his throne today. Hallelujah. Brother Brian has asked we read from Psalm 51. So if you want to turn over there, we'll look at Psalm 51. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm of repentance and of God's forgiveness. What a precious, precious psalm it is. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. For those who are able, let's kneel together for prayer.
I greet each one of you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon is Praying for Revival. Praying for Revival. As I was finishing my sermon the end of this week, I really had a burden. I didn't know whether I should change the topic. I had it almost finished. Yet, I know what's on everyone's mind. And do I change my topic and speak directly to what's on everyone's mind with the virus that's around? And I really struggled. What should I talk about? I didn't know as of Friday night yet if I would change my mind. I called Brother Ray and he gave me some guidance and prayed for me. But then I opened my Bible Friday evening and I found a note. It's a note that was given me a number of weeks ago. It's a note that was given to me on that dark weekend for us that Nathan was very sick in the hospital. We didn't know what the future held. We were scared. We were fearful. There was a lot of uncertainty. Do you know what the note said? It says, "Be strong. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest." Do you know what the text, the reference for that verse is? It's from the first chapter of Joshua. The children of Israel faced a scary time. Moses was dead. They were going over into a new land, an uncharted territory. They didn't know what to expect. And they were told by God to be strong. God tells them, "Be strong, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." God tells his people to walk closer to him, to increase their faith, to put their trust and their hope, to draw their courage from a closer walk with God. And as I read that note over and over again, I thought, isn't that what revival's about? I tell you, the best thing you can do as we face uncertain times is to walk closer with your God. Perhaps we need revival now more than we did a month ago. And so, because of a note someone left me in my mailbox, we decided to keep the topic this morning the same: praying for revival. Praying for revival. This time of year, there are many revival efforts, aren't there? Between the brethren and the Mennonite congregation in this area, many, many revivals. 2 weeks ago, there were three. Last week, there was one. This week, there are three. Next week, two or more, maybe. Think of all the energy and all the time and all the efforts and all the prayers that go into revival efforts. Our revival meeting here is only a week away. I'm sure you're praying for the meetings. I'm sure you're praying for Brother Luke. I'm sure you're praying for revival, individual revivals, and revivals in our congregation. Yet as I read Scripture, I see there are certain prerequisites for revival, certain conditions that show up over and over again. And so this morning, I'd like to encourage you in four specific ways you can pray for our revival. Instead of just praying that we would have revival, I encourage you to pray for these things this week. Pray that we might be convicted of our sins. Pray that we would have a higher, accurate vision of God, His holiness, and His Word. Pray that we would come to the meetings with a yielded, submissive, and needy heart. And pray for repentance among us. Praying for revival. Won't you pray for a conviction of sin? Before any revival, before we can have a closer walk with God, there needs to be awareness of what separates us from God. What separates us from God is our sin. What separates an unbeliever from God eternally is sin. But the same truth is for the believer. Sin separates us from a closer walk, from sweet fellowship from God, from giving His Holy Spirit complete control. Yes, as a believer, our sins are completely covered by the blood of Jesus. Yet the truth is that sin always separates. Sin always separates. Sin separates families. Sin separates congregations. And in the life of a believer, sin separates us from that closeness and that sweet fellowship we have with God. Oh, brother and sister, won't you pray this week that our eyes would be open to the sins that we have in our lives? Turn, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 12. It's a familiar text for you. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Said, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had brought and nourished it. And it grew up together with him and with his children. And it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But took he the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, that man hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. You see, David saw the sin as being someone else's. And in verse 7, Nathan said unto David, Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Oh, how we need to hear God telling us that today. Thou art the man. Thou art the man that's full of pride. Thou art the man that puts his trust in his riches. Thou art the man full of bitterness and anger. Thou art the man that's full of greed. Thou art the man full of lust and sexual desires. Thou art the man that refuses to control their tongue. Thou art the man full of gossip and unkind words. Thou art the man with rebellion against God and the church. God, help us that each one of us could hear the Holy Spirit say to us this week, Thou art the man. We have lived with many of our sins for so long, we've become blind to them, we've become used to them, and we've become comfortable with them. Pray this week that our eyes would be open, that we would have an awareness of our sins. Won't you pray with me this week for that? That we might be convicted of our sins, that we might see that we have a need, that our eyes would be open and we would hear the Spirit say to us, Thou art the man. If you desire revival, it has to begin with a conviction of sins. David heard the prophet say to him, the man of God say to him, Thou art the man. And his response to that is in Psalm 51 that was read to you. David took it seriously. And he cried out to God, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Won't you pray this week that you and I will be convicted of our sins? The second thing that we could be praying for this week, pray that we would have an accurate, a higher view of God and His Word. How we need that today. We need to lift God up higher. We need to believe and trust in His Word and lift it up. Many today have an incomplete picture of God. They accept God as a loving Father, and He is, and I praise Him for it. They talk about His attributes of mercy, grace, and love, and compassion, and He is all that. Thanks be to God. But He's so much more. Often ignored are the truths about His holiness, His sovereignty, His justice, His righteousness. Pray that we would have a view of God's holiness. In that familiar account of Isaiah 6, Isaiah has an accurate, a complete view of who God is. He saw God high and lifted up, seated upon the throne, and the seraphim were crying out to each other. They cried, Holy, holy, holy. I think it's significant that they didn't cry out, Love, love, love. They didn't cry out, Mercy, mercy, mercy. But they cried out, Holy, holy, holy. We need a vision of the holiness of God, the vision that Isaiah saw. And in that vision of the holiness of God, Isaiah saw his need. In verse 5, then he said, Woe to me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah was convicted of his sin because he saw the holiness of God. He saw God for who He truly was. One of the seraphim took a live coal and placed it on Isaiah's lips. And Isaiah's iniquity was taken away and his sins were purged. He experienced revival because he had the proper view of God. Brothers and sisters, won't you pray this week that we might have the same vision of God? Likewise, we need the correct view of God's Word. Today, the Bible is often seen as just a book of sayings, an account of various stories, perhaps even a book of advice. Yet God is inseparable from His Word. God is holy, and His Word is holy. You can't believe in God and reject His Word. It's impossible. Do you want revival? Won't you pray for the correct view of God's Word? It's the Word of life. In God's Word, we find life. Revival means a new life, a new energy, a new purpose, and it's found in God's Word. In the account of creation, God stoops and breathes life into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. God's breath brought life. Do you remember in 2 Timothy what God calls His Word, what God says about His Word? In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, God tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you know what that means? That means God breathed. God breathed into Scripture. God breathed out life. And we as men breathe in that life through God's Word. Pray that we would have a correct and a proper view of God's Word. Pray that God's Word, the book of life, would be lifted up. I trust thoughts like these are never in our mind. I know what the Bible says, but I don't think it applies to us. Isn't it just a collection of men's thoughts and different stories? I pray that's not in your heart today. God, help us that we would have a higher view. Cry out to Him in prayer that we would hold His Word up as truth. Pray that we would align our thoughts with God's Word. Pray that we would accept the Word as truth. Pray for a corrected and improved view of God's Word. It is life. And it is the only way of revival. In Psalm 51, after David acknowledged his sin, after David saw himself for how he truly was, he expresses a proper view and a renewed vision of God in verses 4, 5, and 6. He says, O God, against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He sees God as holy, as righteous, as perfect. He says, I've done evil in the sight of a perfect God. And he glorifies God, calling Him just and blameless in truth. Is that your view of God this morning? Do you see God as holy, as blameless, as perfect? Do you see God high and lifted up? What about His Word? Do you believe cover to cover that it's true? Not just in parts and portions, not just convenient passages. Do you think that the Bible is the Word of life? David aligned his thoughts with God's and he experienced revivals. Brother and sister, this week, won't you pray that we might have the correct view of God and His Word and lift them up? The third thing you can pray about this week as we're preparing for revival is pray for a yielded heart. Pray for a yielded, a submissive, a needy heart. As we become aware of our sins, when we see ourselves as we really are, when we have the right view of the holiness of God, We're forced to make a decision. What will we do? What do we do? Will we admit that we need a Savior? Revival will only happen if we see our great need, if our hearts are softened with tenderness and humility before God, if we cry out to Him in our needy condition. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. I'd like to read verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15 of Isaiah 57. Verse 14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Sort of a confusing verse, but it means build a highway. It has the idea of piling up to make an elevated highway to God, taking all the stumbling blocks out of the way, that the path would be clear. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. It's amazing, isn't it, that verse, that God is high and holy. He dwells in eternity, but yet he wants to live with you. That amazes me. God wants to live with you. And he will say, and he says, I will dwell with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit. Contrite means crumbled, broken, bruised, crushed, destroyed, collapsed, needy, needy. Humble is depressed, laid bare. Humility has to do with seeing ourselves as we truly are in the presence of a holy God. And it's only with those recognizing their need does God promise to live with, to dwell with. God promises to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2 says almost the same thing. It says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Oh, brothers and sisters, won't you pray that you might come to the revival meetings with a needy heart. As some of you know, we have a Bible study in our home with some neighbors every other Sunday evening. We're working through the book of Galatians, the same as we are here at Pleasant Hill. We're just a number of weeks behind. During my study of Galatians, I'm impressed by the overwhelming love of God. The whole book screams out, God loves you. God loves you. And I asked the leader one night, as I felt the love of God, it was overwhelming to me. I said, why don't other people feel the love of God? Why don't our neighbors experience the love of God? And he said, Brian, because they're not needy. They're not needy. They don't need a Savior. They think they're fine by themselves. It's true, isn't it? We can tell people about the love of God over and over again, but until there's a need, until they see themselves as needy, they can never appreciate how much God loves us. Until they know that they're broken and contrite, until their heart is tender and yield, until they need a Savior, God's love means very little. Won't you pray this week that we might come to the meetings with a yielded, a submissive, a needy heart? David did in Psalm 51. David did. Verses 16 and 17. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, but the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Pray hard this week that we would come to revival meetings broken and needy before God. Lastly, and number four, pray this week that we would repent of our sins, that we would be repentant before God. Repentance includes changing of our mind. When we're convicted of our sin, we call it sin, we agree with God. Repentance includes a regret, a remorse, a guilt, a sorrow. We realize that we've sinned against the God that loves us so much. Repentance includes a willingness to turn from our sin, turn our backs on our sins. Repentance includes the willingness to obey God and to live with Him. And brothers and sisters, we need repentance, yes, as believers. You see, repentance is just not for the unsaved. It's for us. It's for the church. It's needed all through life. Believers at the Church of Ephesus were commanded to repent for their lack of love and their lack of devotion. Believers in the Church of Pergamos were told to repent because they tolerated false teachers and false doctrines. Believers in the Church of Thyatira were told to repent of their evil deeds. Believers in the Church of Sardis were told to repent from their spiritual deadness and unfaithfulness. And believers at the Church of Laodicea were told to repent of their lack of faith. And we need to do it today at Pleasant Hill. How we need it today. We need that godly sorrow for our sins. We need that turning from our sins. Won't you pray this week that we would come to the meetings repentant, sorry, willing to leave our sins and turn from them? Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. There were problems in the church at Corinth, and Paul wrote them a letter telling them about their problems. And they were convicted of their sins. They accepted Paul's letter as truth. They repented of their sins. And this is Paul describing the church at Corinth. I'd like to begin reading verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now I rejoice that ye were made sorry. I'm sorry, I started incorrectly. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, What carelessness it wrought in you! Yea, what clearing of yourselves! Yea, what indignation! Yea, what fear! Yea, what vehement desire! Yea, what zeal! Yea, what revenge! And all these things have ye approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Look at verse 11. It says that godly sorrow, repentance, produced these things in the church of Corinth. It says it produced carefulness, diligence, earnestness to live godly lives. It says it produced an eagerness to clear yourselves of forgiveness. Clear yourselves of all charges. It produced in them an indignation, a disgust at sin. It produced in them a fear, an alarm in offending God. It produced in them a vehement desire, a longing to live righteously. It produced in them a zeal, a concern, a passion for what's right. It produced in them a revenge and a desire to see justice done. It produced in them forgiveness and innocence. Isn't that what revival does? That's what repentance can do for us. Won't you pray this week that we would repent of our sins, that we would repent of our sins? In Psalm 51, David did, didn't he? Psalm 51, verse 7. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shall eat there. Hold on. I'm in the wrong chapter. 51, verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, and the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David repented, and he experienced revival. He experienced revival. This week, I would encourage you, as you pray for revival, be specific. Be specific. Pray that we would fall under conviction of our sins. Pray that we would have a higher and accurate view of God and His Word, that they would be lifted up among us. Pray that we would come feeling our need yielded to Him. Pray that we would come repentant, ready to turn from our sins. Won't you join me in praying for revival this week? May God bless you.
Let's all stand before the Lord in prayer.